I remember the first time I saw someone vape, and that was whilst I was driving in the, and they were in the car in front. I actually thought their car was on fire. Hello and welcome to A Doctor's View, a podcast looking at everyday health topics and life through a doctor's eyes. Please note that all opinions are my own and should not replace the advice given to you by your own doctor. I'm Dr. Bolivios. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to Doctor's View. Today we're going to be discussing e-cigarettes and vaping. Namely, are e-cigarettes safe? Is vaping safe? Well, to go back to the beginning, we've got to look at cigarettes themselves. We know cigarettes are dangerous. Since there was a study done in the late 60s, early 70s with beagles, whereby the beagles, the type of dog, were forced to smoke cigarettes and then later developed cancer. We know that they are dangerous. We've since had numerous studies that have linked smoking to cancer, smoking to heart disease, smoking to high blood pressure, and many, many, many more. It's the one thing that seems to affect all systems in the body. We know that smoking is the number one cause of preventable disease at the moment. It's being very closely followed and probably soon to be overtaken by obesity, but we know how dangerous it is. Now, in cigarettes themselves, there are more than 7,000 chemicals, and we know that at least 250 are known to be harmful, and about 70 or so we know are carcinogens. These are substances that cause cancer. Tar is what is left behind as a consequence of smoking the tobacco. And this tar is absorbed by the lungs and causes lung cells to die. Now, you have to look at why do we smoke? Well, smoking a cigarette is a way, a vessel, as you, if you will, of introducing nicotine into the body. It is the nicotine that is the addictive aspect of smoking. It is the thing in cigarettes that make you feel good, as it were, or that gives you that hit, or that gives you that craving and makes you feel happy afterwards, albeit very short-lived. Nicotine itself is extremely addictive. It activates the same reward pathways in the brain that other drugs do, such as cocaine or amphetamines, albeit to a much lesser degree. And it's been shown that it can be as addictive as heroin. And research has shown that as nicotine increases, the level of dopamine increases in the brain. And this is the neurotransmitter that makes you feel good and gives you a sense of pleasure and well-being. And it's the nicotine that makes us addicted to cigarettes. So smoking cessation aids are a form of nicotine replacement therapy. Things like inhalers or patches or gum. And the idea behind it is that they introduce the nicotine into our body without the harmful carcinogenics, without the tar and all the rest. And the problem with these, they're very, very good, and it's helped millions of people to quit smoking. However, they don't provide the same level of hit, as it were, as a typical cigarette does. And this often leads to relapse. It doesn't give you the same sense that you're having a cigarette. And often people go off them and they just go back to smoking. And as Mark Twain once famously said, quitting smoking is very easy. I've done it thousands of times. And this is where e-cigarettes and vaping comes into it. So what is an e-cigarette? An e-cigarette is a battery-powered device that converts liquid nicotine into a mist or a vapor, and then the user inhales it. And I'm sure we've all seen an e-cigarette. We've seen people vape in the streets. And the idea is that you don't inhale all the harmful things that a typical cigarette contains. You don't have those 7,000 chemicals. However, it's not that simple. There's been a lot of debate as to the safety of e-cigarettes. Now, you're thinking, okay, we know that nicotine is the addictive part of tobacco smoke, and we know all the harmful things. E-cigarettes don't contain those harmful things, so surely it's pretty much okay. The problem is, nicotine itself is actually a problem in that it's not without its dangers. It is inherently a poison. It does cause a wide range of side effects in its own right, even without the tar and all the other chemicals. And these side effects can affect many organs in the body. And they include things like increasing your blood pressure. It does increase risk of atherosclerosis, which is a plaque that forms in the artery wall. And it's this plaque that leads to heart attacks and strokes. It does make the pancreas produce less insulin, so blood sugar is increased slightly. And there's other side effects as well in the brain, such as dizziness, lightheadedness, irregular disturbed sleep, and so on. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, whilst it can be argued that just taking this nicotine, which causes these side effects, is better for you than normal cigarette smoking, because smoking will also introduce these side effects and many more, and to a worse degree. And that's absolutely true. The dangers we have is that we don't yet know the full long-term effects of vaping. It's been thought that vaping is about 95% safer than smoking. We do know that vaping does actually cause inflammatory changes to the lungs, at least in tissue models that we've done in labs. And we know also that it's not without its inherent risks. However, at the moment, it's deemed safer than normal cigarette smoking and is thought of and classified as a smoking cessation aid. One problem we are facing is that the uptake of vaping in teenagers and young children is actually getting higher and higher. And even though in the UK, at least, there are laws to try and prevent young children from buying e-cigarettes, we know that whilst the uptake of smoking in teens has dropped steadily over the years, we know that teens are far more likely to take up vaping than smoking. And unfortunately, a high percentage of those that do take up vaping later go on to take up smoking. And yes, there's an argument that you can get liquid cartridges that go into these e-cigarettes. You can get them without nicotine. And that's fine. However, again, it's not just nicotine that's contained in the liquid cartridge. It's a lot of other chemicals that we don't know very much about. And the other problem is that some of these cartridges actually have far more nicotine than a normal cigarette does. And whereas you would have a cigarette or two cigarettes and you know how much you are taking in terms of is a 10 a day smoker or they're a 20 a day smoker, with an e-cigarette, it's very, very hard to determine just how much nicotine is being taken. And in some cases, it can lead to quite an excessive consumption of nicotine, which we do know is harmful. Although we don't yet know if it causes cancer yet. I've seen some studies that show that nicotine itself can cause cancer, but I think they've been more in vitro, so they've been more in laboratory tests rather than in actual human beings. But as I've said before, doing another Beagle study is not going to happen nowadays. So we have to rely on evidence as it comes to us when we've looked at all the data and analysed the number of people developing conditions who are e-cigarette users or people who vape. And unfortunately, this takes time. E-cigarettes haven't been around long enough for us to have this collection of data like we do for smoking and alcohol and many other things that we write about and preach about. So all we really have to go on is common sense, really, in that we know that cigarettes are very bad for you. We know what's in them. We know that they cause cancer. We know that they cause heart disease, strokes, and many, many other conditions. Equally, we look at an e-cigarette and we think, okay, what's in it? Yes, it's got the nicotine. We know that's got harmful things, but so do cigarettes themselves. And we think, what else does it have in it? Okay, we don't really know how bad this is, but on balance, we think it must be better than smoking. And Public Health England, at least, suggest that. They at the moment, they are suggesting that smokers explore all avenues of nicotine replacement therapy, including electronic cigarettes. Personally, I agree with them. I think, yes, we don't know enough information on electronic cigarettes. We don't know how dangerous vaping is in the long term. However, we do know the dangers of smoking. And currently, there were 490,000 hospital admissions attributed to smoking between 2017 and 18. There were nearly 80,000 deaths in 2017 attributed to smoking. And about 10% of mothers were smokers at the time of delivery. And whilst that's down from, I think, the peak in 2006, 2007, where it was 15.8%, this is still a huge proportion. So anything that can be done to try and help, I think, is a good thing. Yes, we don't know the full effects of vaping, but it's common sense call at present, until we have more information on them as the data comes in, that it is a safer thing. However, to suggest that it's completely safe, I think is irresponsible. And I think it's right that we have age limits on these things. It's right that it is closely regulated. There is the argument as to whether or not vaping should be allowed in public areas. In UK and Europe, we know that smoking is banned in public areas, be it restaurants, cafes and the like, and that's quite right. Now, vaping is also banned in the same areas, and we don't yet know what the secondhand smoke, as it were, does to a bystander, does to someone sitting next to someone who is vaping. And even if it was completely safe and we knew it was completely safe, trying to convince a non-smoker or someone who doesn't vape that, yes, this huge plume of smoke coming out of this person's device sitting next to you is completely harmless, or it won't affect you, it's quite a tall order. And so the safest thing to do and the most comfortable thing for the majority of people to do is to ban it in public areas. I mean, I remember the first time I saw someone vape, and that was whilst I was driving and they were in the car in front. I actually thought their car was on fire. I had never seen such a load of smoke come out of a driver's seat in all my life. It's only now that I realize what it is every time I do see it. And when working in the hospital, one of the most heartbreak moments is as I walk in by the main entrance, despite many, many signs and recorded messages of please don't smoke on NHS property, we see a plethora of smokers, sometimes carrying their drips in wheelchairs, sometimes amputees, outside the main entrance smoking. And this is quite tragic. It shows the power of the addiction, and it shows just how much people are willing to defy the rules or break the law, in fact, to satisfy this addiction. But most of all, it's not fair on the our patients who don't smoke. It's not fair on the staff who have to walk past it. It's not fair on the people inside the hospital who can actually smell the cigarette smoke before you've even left the hospital, or, you know, for quite some time after you've walked in. It's quite pungent, and it spreads around the lower level of the main entrance quite quickly. Now, would I advocate we allow vaping? I would. And the reason for that is simple. One, yes, we don't yet know the full effects of it. However, on balance, to take away someone a device from someone, or to prevent them from using a device that they are trying to use to help them quit smoking, which we know is bad, I think isn't quite right. I think we should at least allow vaping to take place even in hospital grounds. And that would cause controversy, I'm sure. But let's look at it this way. If someone's willing to break the law and to stand in a hostel entrance smoking a regular cigarette when it's clearly signposted and told many times by security staff and members of staff not to, then it's going to happen. We're not going to be able to stop it unless we start introducing things like fines or harsh punishments or whatever. So we're not kind of winning that. So we may as well allow something which we know or we believe at the moment to be better. Now, I'm not saying we should allow it to happen anywhere. I think there should be designated vaping areas in the hospital and as there are in public places, smoking and vaping areas. Maybe in the future, as we know more, we should actually have smoking areas and vaping areas separated. For example, if we know that vaping is safer than smoking, we could say, well, why should people that are vaping and trying to quit smoking be subjected to secondhand smoke from smokers in the same area? They're trying to quit. They're trying to make themselves healthier in an indirect way. So should we separate them further? I know this is a slightly shorter podcast than normal. I just wanted to highlight that we don't yet know the fullest effects of vaping. I also wanted to highlight some of the dangers nicotine itself has and that it's not completely risk-free. As I said before, I think on balance, vaping is much safer than smoking. By how much? We don't really know. Is it for sure? We don't really know, but we think it is, and common sense dictates that it is. And so at the moment, we are advocating it as a form of nicotine replacement therapy to aid smoking cessation. And that's a good thing until we know more. However, the best thing would be to abstain altogether. And that is a very difficult process to do. And one thing we also need to do is to make sure that it remains safe to young people. And by that, we need to make sure it doesn't get into young people's hands in the same way that tobacco has done in the past and still does. You often see young underage people smoking every now and then, definitely nowhere near as much as we used to. But vaping is taking over from that, and we need to do something about that. If you are a smoker and you would like to stop, and the majority of smokers do want to stop, there is a plethora of help out there. Doing so without any help or without any nicotine replacement therapy, we know, is on the whole an unsuccessful thing. Going cold turkey is a wonderful idea, and if you can do it, all power to you. However, we know that from studies that it's not the most successful way of quitting smoking. Your GP, pharmacist can help with smoking advice, smoking cessation advice, and help advise what type of nicotine replacement therapy would be best suited for you. And there's also a lot of information on the internet. There's a lot of forums. There's some great apps you can download as well. And some of these even give you the amount that you're saving each day and help yourself save for a holiday with the amount that you've saved from stopping smoking. There's some fantastic ways of helping, giving yourself the best chance of stopping smoking. I'm going to leave this episode there. And if you do have any topics that you'd like me to discuss, please email me. My email is in the description of this podcast, and I'll do my very best to answer any topics that you would like. As always, please look after yourselves. I'm Dr. Bolivios. Goodbye.